Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
And welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. Ooh. We have a new whiskey to talk about.
A little pep in your step.
I do have some pep in my step. It's not because of our whiskey, although it's a very good one in my opinion. Not great. It's Monkey Shoulder Blended Scotch. Mm-hmm. 86 proof, so a little bit of kick, not crazy. I think it's, as blended scotches go, I think it's pretty damn good. I give it an 89. I think it's got...
Yeah, I mean, it's that right on the cusp. It's got a citrusy flavor to it. That comes through right away, and you can. There's almost like a barley taste to it as well.
I agree.
If you can, identify that on your palate, and I think it's a good scotch to have on your shelf if you're not a huge scotch drinker, or you have people coming over and you want to put something out, but you don't want to put out your best stuff, but you don't want to give them Johnny Walker Red. This is a good sort of in between. It's not overly expensive. I mean, I think you can grab a bottle of it for under $40.
I think it was like 30, 35, somewhere in that range.
And so it's one I would definitely, I usually have a bottle of it around. I think the first time you had it was at my place.
I think you're right.
So it's a good go-to to have, right? I mean, it's a neat bottle, kind of that old style bottle.
Cool presentation, I agree.
With the,
the cork and the three monkeys on the...
So... Each on each other's shoulder.
Right, shoulders. Who's that? So, on their shoulder. Hence the name, Monkey Shoulder. So anyway, yeah, it's worthwhile. There's a lot going on in politics. There's a lot going on in the world. But we tend to bring up interesting things going on in Second Amendment issues. And we've had Mike Wood Jr. on here. We've had Kevin Dixie on here. So we've had people who are passionate about that issue. And there's a law coming through in Colorado that a sheriff in Colorado is saying he will not enforce. It's called a red flag law. And basically it says if there is someone who says, this person is a danger, their guns can be temporarily seized.
Right. And it's, at first we, the way it's presented for proponents of this law, I mean, they propone it in a way that's most favorable to them. So they say, if you've got a person that's suicidal, or you have a person that, gets into an argument with his wife and threatens to kill her or the children, then, law enforcement or a worried family member can, and I'm not sure how you would execute the removal. I mean, I believe that you have to,
I think there's a court check.
Yeah, I think you have to go through the courts to do it.
I think the sheriffs are charged with reacting, and the court settles it after the fact, though. I think the sheriff can actually take guns and then throw things over to the court, which is why Second Amendment folks are really not happy with this. And I get it, but I also say, I mean, this is the sort of thing that we would say could have potentially prevented Parkland from happening, right? This guy had been visited by the FBI dozens of times, and they basically said, yeah, there's nothing we can do. So this law is intended to give the ability to prevent that kind of thing from happening. Now, from an effectiveness standpoint, I frankly don't see it. We've talked multiple times how there are so many off-the-books guns, not to mention the ability to get them in any variety of legal or not so legal ways. So from an effectiveness standpoint, I don't think this is going to be particularly great. From a civilian rights standpoint, I find this very...
Right? You have the Second Amendment issue, right? Will not be infringed. Then you also, there's some Fourth Amendment issues here as well in terms of taking a property, right? Where it's not only is it infringing upon your right to bear arms, but it's also coming in and taking something of yours without due process.
Right.
Right. And
which I'm very much against. I mean, when it's property seizures, someone gets pulled over and accused of, you know, possessing weed and gets, well, you had $5,000 in your car. We don't care if you were going to, you know, pay for a boat or do whatever.
Or deposit that, in the bank or whatever. In the bank, or not only are we
going to take, a boat.
Not only are
you
we
want
take,
a boat too.
Right, I do want a boat really bad. So that's why people, you got to pick up the subscriptions and listen
right,
and
right, all that right.
stuff so we can get a boat. But, you know, I mean, not only that, I mean, they could take your $5,000, they could take your car. I mean, right. in some instances, they take houses, and we could talk about seizure law at another time. Because actually, there was an interesting ruling about that in the Supreme Court. And it should technically be coming to a stop, but it's not. So anyway,
you don't break out the wagging finger very often, and you did here. So this is obviously an issue that you're kind of passionate about.
Yeah, that really, really irks me. The fact that they can, you know, they can arrest you and say, we think that you were dealing drugs. Come to find out, you weren't dealing drugs. Everything you were doing was perfectly legal. We confused protein powder for cocaine. And so that being said, you can go, but we're keeping your car, we're keeping your money.
Right.
And if you want it back, then you basically have to pay us to get it back. Right. Even though we were wrong, we're going to take your stuff and we're going to make you pay us to give it back. And then if you don't want to pay it, then fine, we'll keep it, we'll sell it, and we'll make money off of it. Like that, I mean, it's called civil forfeiture. Police, sheriff, you know, prosecutors, like they do it all over the country, all the time. It's big in Texas. It was huge in Michigan, you know, New York, Illinois, all those places. Like, it happened all the time. And it just, it screamed constitutional violation left and right, especially in situations where the person wasn't guilty of a crime and they didn't obtain the car through illegal means. The money was legitimate. And the right. police or the state comes in and they just take it because, well, we don't like you.
We got
and
bills
so,
to pay.
Right. You know, like, we've got bills. We need a new tank, so we're going to take your Range Rover.
Right.
But a little off topic, but we're still in, well, and not as much so because we're still talking about the state coming in and taking your property, taking your possession with no due process, with little to go off of except for the word of, you know, someone close to you. Right, because I mean, it could be a family member, or it could be
law enforcement, an right. ex-wife. I mean, so many.
Yeah, and that's where with something like this,
current girlfriend.
But I mean, but the flip side to it is, you have so many. Like, domestic violence is something that we just that exists in this country,
yes,
and is a serious problem.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, it's just, you know, and we look at the one side of it of men beating women and the fallout from that, because you have women that are beat for years and years and so many women end up dead because of it. And if they don't end up dead, they end up scarred for life.
Right.
There's also the other side of it that we don't talk about are the men that are, you know, or the women that are abusive to men. Like that's an aspect of domestic violence. And is it the bulk? No, but it's still a percentage of the problem, right? Like, so the domestic violence aspect of this, if you're sympathetic towards that, how can you not be sympathetic towards something that may save a person's life who's right. in an abusive relationship?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so that's where the struggle is. And so, and I think that this is something where if you're a person who wants to do the greater good, right? Then you look at this and say, I can live with someone getting their gun taken from them, right? If it means that someone is safe and has an opportunity to, you know, get out of a bad situation or avoids a bad situation. But then the flip side to it is, you know, you could make an argument for, you know, listen, my ex-girlfriend told you that I was crazy and threatened to kill her because she's mad that I broke up with her.
Right.
You've now taken my guns and then she broke into my house and she fucking stabbed me to death. Right? I mean
that's an extreme, but it's not crazy.
Well, it's not that far out there. And I mean, I guarantee you can go on the news and find a situation where, you know, a girlfriend broke into a house and stabbed a guy to death. So, I mean, there's so many wrenches that you can throw in this, and it's hard to wrap your head, like, where do I come out? How is this right or is this wrong? And I think if you have a medical professional, right, like a mental health doctor that comes in and says, listen, this guy's dangerous, right? We just had a therapy session. He just told me he.
But that crosses another line, right? That's HIPAA.
It is HIPAA. But I mean, I think that the person shouldn't be required to tell you to take his guns, right? But I mean, there's already a law that says if they feel that they're a threat to themselves or others,
right,
that there's a duty to report, right?
So,
if you want to take that and say, listen, I have a serious concern about this person's mental health and this person's mental state. Right, and their ability to deal with in reality, then that maybe do we extend that duty to report to you report it and say they may or may not have a gun in the house. I don't know. Run the registry, and if they do, you need to go and you need to check on them. And if they have a gun, then go take it. I don't know.
This is close to home and to me over the last couple of days because a friend of mine who I'm not particularly close with, but a guy I know from the comedy scene, he's actually from Wisconsin. Basically put a suicide note on Facebook. And it was basically, there were multiple things that led up to it, followed by, don't try to stop me, this isn't a plea for help, wrote his name and do not resuscitate and signed it. So that's pretty fucking scary.
Right.
And then I was concerned and I refreshed his page and it said, to the asshole that called the cops and made me sit in a squad car for 2 hours from a suicide prevention team, fuck you, unfriend me. And I thought, they had no choice but to go there. And so, I mean, that's a suicide threat, but there's just no two ways about it.
And listen, I mean, suicide is, I mean, we talk about gun violence all the time, and we talk about Chicago, and we talk about school shootings.
Right.
But suicide is, that's where the majority of this is happening, right? And so, at some point, do we have to look at it and say, there's limits to your Second Amendment right not being infringed. Know what the Constitution says. One, what the Constitution says about the Second Amendment isn't clear. You know why we know it's not clear? Because we have literally three different opinions about it. You can divide the country in three in terms of how they view what the Second Amendment means.
Right.
Right. You have the people who say, under no circumstance can you take my gun. Under no circumstance can you limit me from having any gun that I want. If I want a goddamn rocket launcher, I should have one. And then you have the people, who we don't want to take your guns, but in reality, they don't want anyone to have guns except the police that they don't trust,
right?
And the army that fights these wars that they hate, but yet they say that no one should have guns. So you have those people, right? And then you have kind of the people in between who are like me, who are, and I'll admit, I almost call myself something very, very non-PC, but I'm too wishy-washy on this, and honestly, I can't give you what the answer is. I don't have the right answer, right? I've read books on it, I've read articles, I've read studies, and the one thing this is what I will say, this is the only strong stance I have, is there is a ban against studying, like, the root causes of gun violence, right?
Right. Sponsored by the NRA and that kind of crap.
Right. That needs to change. Right. Right? Because there's enough people who are not sponsored by the government, NGOs and everything who have looked into it, and they give a stat, but the government needs to be able to look into what is going on. Like, you dig into the actual root causes. Not, it's gangs or it's drugs, right? But actually dig into the root causes. What do the gun violence numbers mean? Where is the majority of the gun violence? And then what's causing it? How are we getting there? Breaking down the demographics. Like, who's killing who and why, right?
Right.
Is it, why are so many people killing themselves with guns? And what's happening in inner cities? And just all of that. Government needs to be able to dig into that whole, full bore, and then we need to be able to dump as much money as we need to into that to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean we tap dance around that all the time.
Right, that's the one thing I feel strongly about, and it's not that I don't feel strongly about the rest of it, but I can see both sides,
right?
And I know that's the worst thing to be right now in today and age, to be able to see this person's argument and this person's argument, even when you look at the numbers and you look at the data and you're just like, well, this is compelling, but this is compelling as well. I mean, people will jump all over you and call you a pussy and say, you have to draw a line in the sand. Right. Well, fuck off. No, I don't. Make me.
Right. And so, I mean, I just told you a story about my friend out in Vegas, which leads to the other big issue in guns this week, because...
You may be dropping a few too many hints on this person. They're from this place. They,
well, you know what? You know what?
I know. I mean...
I didn't drop a name, and right. it was weird. I was genuinely scared for him. Right. But he was out in Vegas, and he was not having a good time with things. And that leads us to the other gun issue, which is the Supreme Court did not uphold the stay on the bump stock ban issue or pushed by Trump in relation to the Las Vegas shooting where bump stocks were
and to used. Simplify that, it means the bump stock ban is still in effect. Supreme Court right. didn't intervene to prevent it from going into
It was supposed
effect.
To come into effect April 3rd.
Right.
And the Supreme Court did not step in and keep the ban on it. Right. Or the, stop the ban. And this is a weird, not weird, but this is a unique or new gun law situation because this law actually says these are now banned. If you have them, you need to either turn them in or destroy them. And I think there's up to a 10-year, you know, potentially a 10-year sentence if you don't. This is the first time I know of where a gun law didn't just say, okay, no more introduction of stuff. This is the first one I know where it said, if you have this you and continue to own it, you are committing a felony. Now, I, as you know, think bump stocks are stupid. They're basically designed to let you fire a semi-automatic weapon really, really fast. People can argue and say you can, you know, you can bump shoot using the loop on your belt, and that's true, but the stocks basically turn a semi-automatic into nearly a fully, you know, essentially a fully automatic weapon. And I will argue there is absolutely zero sporting. There's no sporting value to them. There's really no logical self-defense value to them. They're probably a fucking blast. I won't argue that, but that's not good enough for me.
Well, I mean, and one, this is reactionary to what happened in Las Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah.
And I think there's a lot we don't know about what happened in Vegas, right? I mean, just we don't know what that guy's motives were.
True.
I mean, we kind of know who he was, but I mean, like, what was up with his wife from the Philippines? You know, how did he amass all these weapons? I mean, and I saw the video, I think I showed you the video of the SWAT team going into the room after he had already killed himself.
Right.
And I mean, it wasn't just a random array of AR-15s
right.
and 9mm. I mean, there were some heavy-duty, legit, like, fully automatic machine guns in that room.
I think there were bumps using bump stocks, though. I think there were AR-15s with bump stocks.
No, Jim. You saw the same... Like, I remember... I distinctly remember your reaction when I showed you the video. What? I mean, there was... I mean, the one thing was... I don't know what it was. Right, I mean,
okay,
I know a fair number of guns, but I saw it late. It was not just a fancy AR-15, right? The barrel was too long, too big. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, for some reason, I don't know why you're just like, oh, it's an AR-15 with bump stocks.
An AR-15 with bump stock is essentially a automatic weapon.
Fair, but I mean, you look in what was in that room, and it was more than just AR-15s with bump stocks. Right, I mean, and so all I'm saying is we don't know what the fuck happened. We don't know who that guy was, or what the fuck his deal was, or why he did what he did. And then so to turn around and make a federal fucking law based off of that fucking psycho is something that I'm not comfortable with. Is what I'm saying.
Okay. And so to me, this is interesting for a couple reasons. Let me get away from the legal side and just talk purely politically. The gun lobby and the NRA ain't gonna like this, and Trump. Name is on it.
Now NRA supported this. I mean, the NRA was wishy-washy on this, but ultimately came down supporting it because they took a lot of heat.
Okay, all right.
They took a lot of heat when that went down, right? And so they had to cut their losses and show some support for some sort of. And I think that the way the NRA looked at it was, it's bump stocks. It's not a ban on actual weapons.
All right.
It's not a ban on the AR-15, which is, you know, the most popular rifle sold in America or whatever. But we have to give some leeway because that was so brutal. It's what people are calling for. This is the compromise. Now, they disagreed with it, and then the ATF had came out and said bump stocks aren't an issue, right? The ATF had come out and issued, I don't know, like some sort of
statement,
issued a statement, or I mean, it was a document. And I can't remember. I read it where they, you know, they said like this is the potential harm, and this is, you know, cause and effect. One, how many people have them, but it's not that big of a threat, and they kind of like left it. We're not worried about it. The whole thing in Vegas happens. Everyone comes up, oh, the guy had a bump stock, right? And that was, it just blew up. And so this is how we reacted to it.
To me, the political ramifications are interesting, because will this sour that crowd towards Trump or not? Probably not in comparison to everyone's against him.
I mean, most people, I can't say most, right? That's too general of a statement. I don't know that. I don't have the data to back it up. But what I will say is, you know, going around and looking at various NRA spokespeople and their, like, social media sort of platforms, there's a lot of backlash from the Second Amendment crowd towards the NRA. It's not towards Trump.
Okay.
Right, like they're moderately annoyed with Trump, but they're really pissed at the NRA because they feel that it's the NRA's job.
They caved?
That's the exact feeling, is that the NRA caved on the bump stock issue and allowed this to happen. Right, which I think is interesting, right, because that's not how government works, right? Like, it's so funny that these are the same people who, they want small government and this and that. Well, then your group that you pay money to, who turns around and takes your money and gives it to politicians so they do what they want, that's how they get done what they want done, right?
Sure.
Right, I'm gun owner. I go join the NRA. I give the NRA money every year or every month or however it's done, right?
Or as often as you can, because that's how they do things. Right. I belong to the NRA. I've belonged to churches. I don't know which one was in my pocket more.
Right, but you give your money to them. They turn around, they pay a bunch of people to put up fancy YouTube videos and to get on Twitter and talk gun. And then whatever money is left over after they paid everybody, they go and they pay politicians. They pay any politician they can. They start at the president and they work their way down, right? Or maybe they spread it out amongst all the minions in the various states, and then whatever they have left over, which is a shit ton of money, they put in the president that they feel best represents their interests. Usually a Republican. Almost right. Always a Republican.
Yeah.
So that's how the NRA works, right? And then the people feel that, and they may not know or care how the NRA works, but all they know is that you're supposed to prevent this from happening. You didn't prevent this from happening, and this is going to create a slippery slope. It's going to start with bump stocks, and it's going to end with all of us
with
having
slingshots, yeah.
Right, all of us having slingshots.
Okay. I mean, I think we're pretty much on the same page there. It is not.
No, I can buy it a little bit, right? I mean, because listen, somebody like.
Again, there is no legitimate logical reason to have one of those things. And the fact that you can do it without a bump stock doesn't change the fact that it makes shooting lots of rounds fast much easier. Now, in the grand scheme, it really comes down to one specific instance. The fact that that instance was absolutely fucking horrific says to me, go ahead and do something. But it's not going to change the landscape of gun violence in America.
No, not at all. Really, I mean, because how many murders have been attributed to bump stocks?
I know right? Of one. Right? Well, one incident with lots of murders.
Right. Sounds terrible.
Jump it does. Ship. All right. So, but anyway, I'm curious to see if Trump gets any backlash for that. Trump is also skipping the White House Correspondents' Dinner, saying it's negative and mean and whatever. I mean, the dinner is supposed to be we scrap all the time.
You put
but
this on the
nice.
Board. I don't know why. Who cares? I mean, how much did you pay attention to the White House Correspondents' Dinner prior to Trump?
Oh, when Stephen Colbert did it for George Bush, it was fucking awesome. And Michelle Wolf made a big deal out of it, too. So it has been a legit news story and a legit.
But I mean, it was after the fact, right? Like, I mean, you're not
sure.
It's
yeah,
not something
I'm,
that you're trying to
I'm not going
to
DVR.
Right.
The White House.
I mean, it's not like
or, you know. Well,
it's
I might,
like, well, we're a podcast. Is there a way that we can go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Like, fuck no. Who the fuck cares?
Right? Oh, don't tell me you would love to do it. I would fucking love it.
Yeah, I would. I like fancy dinners.
I like fancy dinners. I like a chance to fuck with people.
Yeah, I just like
dress up. You know how much fun we could have dealing with legitimate, okay, quote,
first unquote, of all, I just like to dress up fancy and eat fancy dinners. So right? You've got me there.
Right.
Right. The added bonus.
And you like DC.
I do like DC. And the added bonus of being able to fuck with people is indeed enticing. But I'm just saying. I don't know what I'm saying. Now it sounds like maybe we should figure out how to get the...
So the real issue, Steve, is how are we getting our asses to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, even if Trump's not there? Oh, you know how much fun we could have? And see, we could fuck with everyone.
Right.
I mean, we could fuck with Fox News. We could even fuck with CNN.
MSNBC.
Kicking us out would be the best thing ever.
Take it down a notch.
Sorry, that was a lot.
Chill.
This is not a bad idea. This is not a bad thing.
Like, this is what I say to my daughter all the time. Chill. She's like, okay, chill, daddy.
I'm not going to say that back to you. Ever. All right. But hint taken, we can move on. Trump's had a couple of hard pushes he's backed off on. He backed off on, we're going to change healthcare and Republicans will become the party of healthcare.
And then he said, we're going to wait until after 2020.
Right. Which basically is weird. Like, I'm playing politics and I'm not going to try to hide it.
Well, not even that. I think he... The Mueller report dropped, right? And so he comes out with this whole thing on healthcare and him closing the border and everything else. And so I think the healthcare thing especially, that was more to kind of just, that was the jingling of the shiny object over here.
Right.
And it did its job, right? I mean, it got people talking and it even got, I mean, Mitch McConnell was like, this is a dead issue. We're not doing that. You know, I mean, and I feel like Mitch McConnell's over here saying that's stupid. We're not doing any of that. No,
but is Mitch McConnell saying it's a toxic issue because it could hurt us in 2020?
He knows, which I think he is. And he's dead right. He knows, Mitch McConnell knows, like, as much as he, whether you like him or not, he's a pretty shrewd politician.
He is. Right? I mean, he knows his shit. I am not a fan and of the guy, but he is.
And so he's just like, listen, we're not fucking with that. Right? And Trump's just like, Mitch, come on, man.
It has Obama's name on it.
Right, it's got Obama's name. You got this Mueller report.
Even though it doesn't.
Right. I mean, and so, and I think enough people said, yeah, we're not going to do anything with that at all, and you can't continue to champion this because we're not going to touch it, right? And you'll get chewed for that if you say we're going to do something and you don't put a deadline, you know. So they had to say, okay, well, we're working on stuff, and it'll be ready after 2020, so that's a good reason why, you know, you should elect us.
Right.
Because if you do, then we're going to drop this bomb on you that's going to be a bomb of awesomeness, right? And it's going to be awesome healthcare.
If Democrats can finally figure out when to wind their ass and scratch their watch and realize that this is a winning issue for them, and if they
figure it out.
If they could, they're a fucking catastrophe. I'm not.
There's a lot the Democrats have to figure out right now.
But it's not. I mean, is this not maybe biggest issue or one of the biggest issues?
It is, but they have to be careful, right? I mean, because you have to. They've got to figure out a way to say. They need to be able to remind those people in Mitch McConnell's state. You know, a heavy percentage of those people depend on Medicaid and Medicare and, you know, some of the various things that are, you know, that are involved with the Affordable Care Act. Like, you have to remind those people, like, listen, if this goes away and it's not replaced, you know, like...
Then an insurance company can say, oh, your condition was
with diabetes, gone.
You're fucked, right.
You, pregnant. Gone. You're under 26 and on your parent, gone. Get your own insurance. Like,
right.
I mean, like, there's certain things that start to go away. And listen, this thing's been with us now for 5 years, and people are starting to become dependent on it. And insurance companies are just figuring it out. Hospitals are just figuring it out.
It's more than five years, isn't it? Isn't it like 7 or 8? I think it was 2010. I think it was 2010.
Maybe you may be right. Yeah. I'd pull 5 years out of there. But no, it's fine. Whether it's 5 years, 8 years, or whatever, you still have. I mean, it's just becoming so intertwined into our system, with so many different groups that are important to how our healthcare works. That it's every year that it's not. ended and changed, it's going to become harder and harder to undo. Right. Sure. And so Trump really kind of puts himself in a situation here where he says, we're going to give you something bigger and better 2 years down the road. By the way, this will be in place for another 2 years and you'll become that much more dependent on. And that's where Democrats have to jump in and say, he's about to fuck y'all over.
And if it's so awful, why aren't you doing something? Oh, it's not. So, and you know, I remember when that got signed into law, Joe Biden shook Barack Obama's hand and got caught on a hot mic saying, this is a big fucking deal, which I thought was cool because I like when people say fuck. But Joe Biden...
What, are you nine?
I am, roughly, intellectually. No, I like when... I hate fucking bullshit censorship and all that stuff. And when you can't say those words because you're... Fuck it. But anyway...
Sometimes I swear you're a 13-year-old trapped in a
47-year-old body. And maybe I am. But anyway, Joe Biden is in a little bit of a weird situation now because Joe Biden is getting accused of inappropriate behavior. Now, it's not on the level of...
Listen, he wasn't banging prostitutes.
Right, or grabbing them by the pussy or whatever.
But, first of all, one, I told you this, right? I've been telling you this. Like, Joe Biden's got a touchy-feely problem, right? Yeah. And you're just like, oh, well, I don't know. Right, and then boom, here it is. Right, and I sent you a clip from 2 years ago. That thing I sent you was from that video montage of Joe Biden being weird is from 2 years ago. That spans like 20 years of him just being weird. Right now, and I think that part of it is that Joe Biden is just fucking weird. Do we need to pause?
Sorry, no, we're good.
Leave your mic alone. Leave it.
Stop that. You just focus on your point.
But we've got a 20-plus year history of Joe Biden being extremely close talker guy, right? Let me whisper in your ear. Let me put my hand on your shoulders. Let me brush your hair back. You know, I mean, like, grab you by the face. But he grabs men by the face. Like, oh, come here. I mean, he's like an Italian grandmother,
right?
And I totally get why how that can make you uncomfortable. Like, I've grew up around a lot of Italian grandmothers where it's just like, I don't want to kiss you. I don't want to put my head in your bosom. Please leave me be. And so Joe Biden is just that, right? Now, the question is, should Joe Biden be canceled? Should this disqualify him from public office and running for president? And this is where Democrats have a serious problem.
Yeah.
Right? Progressive left and Democrats. You've been calling
for... zero tolerance right, like, on everything.
And they and want everybody's like, well. Heads. They want everybody's heads on any allegation of any sort of thing where any woman felt uncomfortable ever. Right?
Right.
But now, Joe Biden, there's some people who will argue that Joe Biden is your best chance to beat Donald Trump in 2020. I don't know if I agree with that, but I could see the argument for it.
Sure.
And so now Democrats have to figure out, are we going to eat our own to the point where there's nothing left to compete with Trump? Or do we let this slide and then have to deal with the backlash from the other side where we went after Kavanaugh and we went after
Trump
and we've gone over
anyone pretty much. Right, I mean,
we've tried to, you know, destroy anyone who's ever been in an awkward situation with a woman.
Right. And Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
Let's not go down that road again.
Right. I mean, I have so much more about that. Like, I have pent up. And every time I watch Parks and Rec, I want to spell it out. But it's not worth anyone listening to. Right. So anyway, moving on.
Yes.
So it's my thing with Joe Biden is I think he handled it the way you should handle it. Like, I feel like whoever his PR person...
For a guy who typically trips over his own dick, as you would say.
Right. I mean, but he handled it. He said, listen, my bad.
Yeah, you know,
like, listen,
I didn't mean to do anything wrong. If it was taken that way, right.
I need to be more respectful of people's personal space. That's on me. I'll get better at it. Obviously, I'm an old dog learning new tricks. That's on me, sure. My bad, right? And I feel that's how you handle it, right? Because, and now people are like, well, I still am upset about it, but I can't get on you because you didn't go Brett Kavanaugh and... You know,
I mean,
you know, throw a temper tantrum, right? And right. I mean, and that's where, and the thing, and like, there are people, and that's why the whole thing about him, people are talking about it, but they don't have that same just negative vibe. Now, right. Part of it is because Joe Biden is a Democrat, right? And at the end of the day, you've got Alyssa Milano, right? She's, you know,
sure.
What was that show she was on?
It was
Three's Company.
No, it was Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss, yes. Who's the Boss? And I think that show with the witches on TNT.
Oh, God.
Not The Craft.
No.
But whatever. Either way. Yes. Alyssa Milano, very attractive young lass. But she's huge pro-left, far-left, progressive, you know, Me Too movement, the whole thing, right? She wanted Brett Kavanaugh's head on a platter earlier this week on Twitter. This is my friend Joe Biden saying all the right things, and this is why I still support him no matter what, right? And it's just like, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, you know what, Alyssa Milano, you're so full of shit.
Yawn.
Get the fuck out of here. Right? Like, I mean, sure. It's just like, because all you had to do, if you took Joe Biden and you said, everything stays completely the same, but if he would have flipped and said, you know what, I'm running for Republican, I can't stand you Democrats anymore, she would lose her shit and she would want him fucking decapitated and castrated, right? In the town square. And that's the Democrats' problem, that they're not going to, that they're going to have to figure out how to deal with.
Yeah,
I can't say that they're not going to, because, I mean, we've seen rabbits pulled out of hats before, serious issue for them.
Joe Biden kind of handled this in a better way, but a similar way to when Schwarzenegger had the allegations against him. Yeah. Schwarzenegger was accused of groping and doing all, so big difference in accusation, right? Because Schwarzenegger was literally accused of, like, physically groping and manhandling women, and he basically said, where there's smoke, there's fire, and I apologize for all of it.
Biden was accused of the same thing. I mean,
I think Schwarzenegger was like grabbing asses
fair.
But Schwarzenegger,
it's still touching people inappropriately.
He took it head on and just said, I mean, you know,
yes,
whatever. I apologize. It was not appropriate, and let's move on. We'll see if Biden stays in the front runner seat. I don't know.
This isn't going to be what derails Biden, right? Because he handled it the right way. Now, if he would have made a big stink about this and said, no, and then forced people to come out and say bullshit and blah, 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 but because...
And produce more and more videos.
And listen, when I say in these situations, your best bet is to own it to a degree, give yourself enough space where you can say, listen, I'm not a monster, I may have made a mistake, I don't remember, or I didn't mean it, or whatever. You give your note, and people are just like, oh, that's the pussy way to go. Okay, fine. But if it keeps you in the game, or it allows you to,
deflect
the subject, then that's how you do it. This isn't about your fucking moral compass. Fuck off.
Right.
Do you want to win, or do you want to stand on your fucking high horse? Right? And that's my explanation for this.
And it makes sense, and I think, oddly, Joe Biden, the gaffe machine, handled this reasonably well.
Right. I mean, kudos to the people on his team who said, like, this is how you do it. Right?
And kudos to him for being coachable. Let's face it, not all politicians are. There was one other thing in the news that I wanted to talk about, because Fox News put up a graphic saying that Trump said that, you know, four Mexican countries are not...
Well, it was three Mexican
countries. Three Mexican countries are being, you know, stopped at the border or whatever. First of all, Trump never said that. But Fox did have that graphic that said three Mexican countries. Now, there was only one Mexico, and your initial thought is, wow, they're dumb. But a friend of mine, Brandon from the podcast that's using our studio, said to me that he thought that was intentional. He said, you put the word Mexican countries, and that's a trigger word. And I thought that was an interesting point. And then I thought about it a step further and said, the only thing that, you know, motivates those from the Fox News crowd more than things like the word Mexican is getting called stupid by elitists or so-called elitists. And when they wrote three Mexican countries, the Bill Maher's of the world pointed out how stupid they sounded. Ah, they think there's three countries called Mexico. There's only one. And that feeds into the narrative. So initially I thought, boy, they're dumb. And then I thought, this could be a crazy like a Fox moment. What are your thoughts on that? Because I think it was an interesting... Brandon's point was interesting to me, and then I took it to the next level and said, it feeds both narratives that help your cause.
You know, I don't... that could be, right? I mean, I'm not a huge conspiracy theory guy, And I think that media overall, you've got a lot of lazy people in media who are just trying to put as much shit out there as they can. They don't care about quality. It's about quantity. And they know that they have their viewership or listenership. And so they're not worried about the details. So I think the reality is that chances are...
You're going to go with dumb?
Chances are you got some intern.
Evil will always win, right? Because probably, good is dumb.
Well, no.
That's a quote from fucking Spaceballs.
Pipe down. Chances are you got an intern from probably a liberal East Coast school who's a staunch conservative, who Fox News immediately said, we want you, right? This kid comes in, you know, gets excited, blows their load, typing it into the thing, and then it goes on TV, and they're like, oh, shit. Right? But once it's up there, it's up there, it's a win, right? I mean, I think that's probably the reality. But maybe it was a grand
scheme. You know what, though?
And I'm not saying, listen, of all the conspiracy theories that people throw out about everything, this one isn't that far off base, where I'll give you credit for that. I didn't go that way. I just thought someone fucked up.
Yeah, right. And that's very possibly true. But if it was a bait and switch or whatever, it was well done because it will accomplish the goals I'm talking about. It made the left call out Fox for being stupid.
I think part of it though is, man, at some point in time, you have to realize that people are where they are. There are very few people that you're gonna sway, either you're pro-Trump or you're anti-Trump. I think there's a small percentage of people in the middle. Those people are very important because for the Democrats to win, you're going to have to pull them. But there's also the people, like, and the Democrats have to figure out a way to grab the people in the middle and also pick up people that are typically in their base, that are on their side, who are just sitting at home because they're tired of all of it. Right? And I don't consider those people in the middle. I consider those people who are just like, fuck Trump. Fuck the right, fuck conservatives, fuck GOP, but, you know, whoever you've put, like Hillary, she wasn't about us, right? She wasn't about us, screw her. So, I mean, I think those people, you have to figure out how to get them back into the fray and get them to show up at the polls, and then also you have to get those people in the middle who are, Trump rubs me the wrong way, but I still just don't have anyone that I can commit to on the left.
You know what, you're kind of preaching a Bill Maher narrative. I know you hate that, but Bill Maher's narrative is liberals and Democrats need to go on Fox News. If you avoid going into quote unquote enemy territory, you're never going to get heard. And Pete Buttigieg from Indiana was, I think, the first declared candidate to go there.
Well, the Democrats, I mean, they fucked up out of the gate saying we're not going to do any debates with Fox News.
Right? Well, I think they fucked up before that. But
Fine, but we're talking about this presidential campaign season that's, you know, right around the corner, you can say it's already kind of kicked off to a certain degree. You're literally going to say you're not going to go on Fox. Why? Right? They're not going to give us favorable questions.
If the Republican said we're not going to go on CNN, people would go nuts. And if you don't speak, like, you know, I'm a bit of a fan of Tulsi Gabbard. And I still am, and she's a veteran. She's an anti-interventionist. Those are things I like about her. There's probably things I wouldn't necessarily be fully on board with, but someone like that could probably resonate with a Fox crowd. Steve Bannon would probably eat up 70% of what she says.
Maybe, I don't know. I think it's too early to be hitching your wagon to anyone. Listen,
I'm not hitching my wagon. She's on my good list for now.
Okay. I got a guy from Youngstown, Tim Ryan, who just jumped into the race this weekend. I know Tim Ryan. He and I sat on a panel together, talking about, housing and affordable housing, a couple years back. And I like him as a guy. I don't know how I feel about him as a presidential candidate, but it'll be interesting to see how he
did
evolves.
He take over Traficant's seat?
No.
No, okay, sorry.
I'm a big Traficant fan for obvious reasons.
Right.
Every time we talk congressman in Ohio, that's a really annoying thing, being a guy from Youngstown.
Well, quit defending. All right. moving on.
God damn it.
Moving on. Sorry.
Listen, Jim.
I think Traficant's a fascinating guy,
You want to talk about someone from another planet? And listen, he holds a special place in my heart because he, signed my recommendation to go to West Point.
Right.
And he gave me a legit interview. It was fucking wild, right? It was not like my other interviews to go to West Point at all. He was a guy who loved the town that I'm from.
Sure.
He appreciated people who were gonna do good things, or he felt were gonna do good things for the area. And he did a lot of good things. He also did some bad things.
I watched a documentary about him at the Cleveland International Film Festival a couple years back. And I ended up at some event with you and some of your friends from Youngstown, and I asked about that. And your friend's response was exactly this. It was, he was kind of a jackass, but he was our jackass.
And that's it.
Yep.
That's it. I mean, it's just, I mean, it was wild. The man was...
I'll tell you what.
I've got stories about him. I mean, he spoke at one of our pep rallies in high school. And he used to wear these polyester suits
with that crazy ass hair.
These polyester leisure suits with he looked like a fucking villain from Bond, like 70s Bond. And I mean, he was really animated and really passionate. And he was
a big guy too, wasn't he? Like 6'4" or something?
Yeah, he was like 6'3", 6'4", and he probably went about 250, a lot of it in his belly, but still. And he was a high energy guy and like I said, I don't know how we got
right, it. Tim Ryan.
Tim
Ryan took over his seat, but I'm wrong. Sorry.
And maybe he did. I don't think that he did, but maybe.
I think he maybe consolidated seats, but I'm derailing the interesting part of the conversation. We got crazy hair and dudes saying crazy shit. Let's stick with that. So I'll move past the whole the four Mexican countries thing, but I'm going conspiracy theorist on you on that one because
that's fine.
It was a really interesting point. When Brandon brought it up, I thought, okay, if you're there, let me take it to the next level. I'm like, it was smart.
I don't know if I'm only giving that much credit, but who knows?
I hear you. This week, go ahead.
Yeah, so we... early, I think it came through late Sunday. There was a rapper, he was a West Coast rapper, his name was Nipsey Hussle. Not to be confused with the great Nipsey Russell.
Nipsey Russell.
But Nipsey Hussle was a guy, he was a West Coast guy out of LA, the Crenshaw area. And, he was a guy who, he was gangbanger early.
Right.
And got into the hip hop game, and he instantly became a Tupac-esque figure, right? Because he started to understand how the game, with air quotes, works. And what I mean by the game is not the drug game, not the gang game, but just how the money game works, right? Building assets, right? Like, so he bought, two blocks in that Crenshaw neighborhood, right? Like, two blocks of it. And he had... a clothing store, he had a restaurant and a barber shop and a shared space for entrepreneurs, like an incubator. And he, was working with LAPD on, the day he was killed on a Sunday, he had a meeting with LAPD on Monday on what they could do to curb gang violence. Right, to the point where the LAPD has come out and said, when you have the LAPD mourning your death, right?
And not causing it
and mourning your death as a black person and a rapper.
In Compton.
In fucking Compton. There's something to be said for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so... And a lot of people will kind of, a lot of people look at it and kind of poo-poo it. Like, oh, he was doing everything that, that's what,
right.
Yeah, but I mean, there's.
Whatever. He was an entrepreneur.
What he did was he started these businesses, right? I mean, he bought a block and he spent the money to do the necessary real estate development to get them to a presentable thing, a presentable space.
Status, yeah.
And then he said, you're a young artist. You're a gangbanger. Get out of that life as a gangbanger. Pursue your dream as an artist. Here's a job working in a clothing store. Here's a job working at the barbershop. Here is a space where you can, if, oh, you've got an idea and you, oh, you're not an artist, but you got a business idea. Here's a safe place for you to come. And he did things, and he cleaned up the parks in, you know, in the neighborhood. I mean, he made this, you know, this little mini basketball court, you know, with this amazing art detail, and, you know, it was safe and it was clean, and it had hoops and nets and benches for people to sit and lights and all that sort of stuff. And you think, like, okay, like, what's the big deal about that? There's nowhere else in fucking LA or any other city where you have stuff like that. Like, where in Cleveland can you go and see people playing basketball at night in a lit bar, on a lit court outdoors?
Right. And I mean, so I played a lot of, you know, like, you know, pickup basketball as a kid. And you always knew when you were playing ball in a place that didn't have nets. You like the chain link.
You knew
nets,
what that meant.
Yeah. It meant this place is not cared for. I mean, you had, you know, someone drains a three and you had to go, did that go in? Yeah. Right. Right.
Right.
And so when, you know, when you add those little things, it improves the quality of a neighborhood. And he was apparently dedicated to that.
Right. And that's,
now, he was gunned down by a guy who apparently he had a beef with. And I think there was a.
Yeah. And there's mixed.
And there's, I mean, I should say allegedly, we don't know yet.
But I mean, the guy has been since arrested. And there's questions. We know it was a personal beef between the two. Why it happened, we're not sure. But, I mean, the guy was an associate. And essentially, Nipsey Hussle said, I don't want you around for whatever reason. The guy got pissed and went home, got a gun, came back, shot him. And, you know,
right.
Tried to go on the
injured
run.
Injured two other people. But
right. Shot him and, yeah, a couple other people. And then went on the run and was eventually caught.
And so from a musical standpoint, I mean, not a shocker. I did not know who he was.
Right. Because I mean, so here's the deal. Like, so he just released his, well, not just, I think last year, released his first studio album, which is Victory Lap. I heard it. I loved it. The opening track is, the name of the album is Victory Lap. The name of the opening track is Victory Lap. One of my favorite songs. It's on multiple playlists that I have. My workout playlist, my I'm drinking at home by myself playlist, my I'm driving to work and I need to get right for work playlist. You know, like all the very, wow. Like it's on multiple
those
playlists.
Those are two things to accomplish with you.
Right, like, and so.
You're getting right and going in.
Right. And then the rest of the album, all in all, I mean, I gave it like an 8, right? Which, okay. I mean, today in hip hop, like, I mean, that's, I mean, essentially a 10. And so I liked him as an artist a lot.
Okay.
And, but I appreciated what I
you
as
liked
much
him more
as
an entrepreneur, right, as a just, civic right. leader.
And
or whatever.
Listen, and you don't necessarily have to be saving the world, but I did like his mindset because he understood instead of buying car, you know, instead right. of buying a $250,000 Lamborghini, I'm going to just go buy these abandoned buildings, tear them down, and then put a little bit more money into rebuilding them up. Right, yeah. And just that mindset, I think, is critical to have if you want these kids to stop fucking gangbanging and killing each other and beating each other and killing themselves with drugs and everything else. Then
putting you have themselves to give, in harm's way with law
enforcement. Like, you have to see someone putting themselves in a right position. And his whole thing was like, listen, I want to build generational wealth. Right. And so in order to do that, I need to have multiple businesses and I need to have LLCs and I need to have money invested for the long term. Right, I mean, you could say, sure. "Oh, I bought a $20,000 watch, and so at any point in time, I could turn around and sell that for, you know, five figures." Okay, yeah, but that's bullshit. You just right. wanted a fucking expensive ass watch, you know. But owning land, owning property, owning businesses that are built that are, you know, generating income and building wealth, like that's critical. And what's sad is, you don't have like there are examples of Black people who do that, but many of those examples aren't put out there for all to see. Right, and he was making an example, and making sure that people saw what he was doing, and he would call out other rappers for not doing the same, right? And other rappers who had his same mindset said, "Listen, you want a role model? Look at what Nipsey Hussle is doing, right?" And that's why I grew
that's
to appreciate him. I
yeah,
mean, and now before his studio album, he had multiple mixtapes, and we could talk about what he did with those mixtapes, which was pretty ingenious in and of itself because he was able to make more money off of those. Than and the average, you know.
I respected his hustle. I didn't know shit about him. I started reading about him. Like, this guy hustled.
Everyone said Nipsey's name, Nipsey Hussle, and he was a hustler. But he was a businessman,
like,
right?
Well, hustle to me is a supportive word. Like, you got your, you know, you're hustling out there, you're making things happen. That was not meant to
be. Right, no, exactly. I know it wasn't meant to be, but I think you have to recognize what he was trying to achieve. And even the things that he did achieve in the short amount of time, he had gained a lot of respect from people who don't necessarily always give rappers sort of due respect. And they saw him in a positive light. Like, he wasn't just a figurehead, right? Like, he wasn't just a rapper who showed up, right, with lots of bling, lots of ridiculous clothes, and a fancy car. He would show up, cut the rope with the giant scissors, get the key to the city, and then ride off with all his bitches.
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, like, there was actual reason that you were there. It's because it was his business that he was opening up and offering opportunity to those around him. And that's kind of the key. If you want to stop this cycle of violence and you want to stop this cycle of poverty, you have to get away. Like, at some point in time, you have to take personal responsibility and start to build up your own community as much as you have to.
And this guy was trying to do that.
Right, he was trying to do that. And also recognizing that you've got systematic oppression and all those other things, so you can fight that. But you, how much effort do you put into fighting the systematic oppression? And then how much effort do you put into actually building up the community from the inside? And he said, listen, I'm going to let the others fight that fight in terms of the system, but I'm gonna work within the system the way it works right now, and I'm gonna take advantage of everything I know from everything from the people who have taught me. Right? Sure. One of his biggest role models is 50 Cent. Right? 50 Cent to me is one of the most hilarious people in media, but 50 Cent is a fucking genius. Right? I mean, like, if you look at the empire that guy has built and how he built it, like, 50 Cent made a majority of his money off of fucking vitamin water.
I was gonna say, what did the vitamin water?
Right? Like, fucking vitamin water, right? And then, you know, he parlayed that into going into bankruptcy because he got caught up in a sketchy situation with a girl and a sex tape. And then turned around and he's got this crazy deal with the Starz Network worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Right? I mean, so...
But, is it Curtis Jackson? Is that his...
Yes, okay. that's his
real name. Yeah, okay.
His government name.
His government name.
But anyway, I mean, like, so, you know...
I was just saying, I remember reading stuff about Curtis Jackson. I was 99% sure I had the right... rapper and real name. I just want to make sure I didn't fuck it up.
God, you're so stiff.
Fuck off. All right. So fine. This is good because now we're gonna go.
Are we?
Because you and I had a bit of a back and forth.
Wait. So here's the deal. I think in reality we've been going for a while. I think we're over an hour.
No, we're not. We're 56.
Oh, are we?
We got time.
All right. Let's do it.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Fuck. So, all right. So you told me you were a little under the influence of some bourbon and stuff, and watched Skyscraper, and then
The Rock,
and you said it was great. Or I think you did say that actually.
I think you did.
It was not great.
It's not
great. No,
it's not. I know it's not.
All right. So to be fair, I have not seen it all the way through.
You saw enough of it.
I saw enough
from your text to me. You've seen enough of it to know
when he used it's duct tape. Duct tape. Right, so were his legs fake? The fake leg he used, was that his amputated leg? I couldn't tell.
What?
At one point, he pins something that's closing open with a prosthetic leg.
Yes.
That was his?
Okay, so let me explain to you.
Yes.
So in this movie...
The movie's called Skyscraper.
It's called Skyscraper. The Rock is a former, I think, FBI or DEA SWAT agent.
Right.
So you did see that.
I saw the beginning, yeah.
And he was...
He gets blown up.
He gets blown up.
But he still has legs.
He lost the lower half of, I think, his left leg.
Okay.
So he's got
one leg. Okay.
He's got one leg, and it's cut off from the knee down, so he's got a fake leg from the knee down, right?
Okay.
So in the scene you're talking about, he ends up having to use that
to stop a secret door
from closing. Yes, that's part of the issue here.
And then he uses duct tape wrapped in reverse over his hands to scale a wall.
Well, he uses duct tape multiple times.
He did go back to it, correct.
Right, and they...
All right, so you challenged me to name my favorite and least, or best and worst Dwayne Johnson movie. Now, we are both fans of Dwayne Johnson. Yes. I'm a huge fan of Dwayne Johnson.
Yes.
And I think the worst movie by him is a slam dunk. The Tooth Fairy. Now, in fairness, I've only seen, like, 20 minutes of it.
Okay, you're right.
It was fucking horrible. Right,
we both agree.
It was a bad idea all around. Now, again, we're both fans.
Okay. What's his best movie?
I won't go best, I'm going to go my favorite. My favorite is The Rundown. I fucking love that. It's a cheesy, goofy action flick, but, I mean, it's got Christopher Walken as a bad guy, he's great. It's got Sean William Scott, it's got Rosario Dawson, who's smoking hot. Yep. And it's got some just really cool action sequence, a ton of really cool action sequences, some funny lines. Yep. I considered that. What was the other one? Walking Tall was the other one that I debated with. Because Walking Tall is a semi, it's a serious movie. I mean, it's got Johnny Knoxville in it, so it can't be that serious.
I think it's a semi-true story. I think
it's a remake. Based. It's a remake. It's a remake, too.
Maybe that's it. Maybe.
It was, what's the name? It was done in like the late 70s. The guy who plays the cop in Fletch is the actor who's the good guy in that.
Jesus Christ.
Joe Don something or other. Anyway, Walking Tall was also really cool. Gridiron Gang, cool, nice, whatever, but not worthy of consideration. Your turn, sir.
So we both agree Tooth Fairy was the worst.
Okay, good.
Like, there's no debate, there's no argument. If you disagree, you are.
If you like that dismissed. Movie, there is something wrong
right,
with
like,
you.
We're just not. It's just. I mean, you can email us if you want, or hit us on Twitter. But
you can email Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com. He right. will take all of your Tooth Fairy.
Right.
The Tooth Fairy fan club can email Steve.
I'm not even sure The Rock liked the Tooth Fairy. So my favorite.
That was a paycheck movie.
Yeah. Mine has got to be Fast and the Furious 6.
You're a huge fan of that dynasty.
Let me explain to you why. When you bring in his presence, that changed. Like, I knew, like, I love Fast and the Furious. I love all of them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean they're cheesy.
Yeah, but they're right. They're entertainment. Marvel's entertainment. Cool.
It's fun. It's fast cars and
hot attractive women and fights they don't and
even,
everything.
What's crazy is after the first couple, like, they kind of got away from the whole women thing. Like, I mean, you'll get a flash a little bit, maybe a girl in a bikini, but then it's just basically cars and fights and guns and whatever. I like action.
High speed chases, sure.
And the series was pretty good, but he just, that one when they were down in Brazil, like where he showed up, it just reignited the series and completely changed it to the point where they've got a spinoff from that called Hobbs and Shaw with him and Jason Statham and Idris Elba as the bad guy, and ooh. I can't fucking wait.
Okay.
Like, I'll be the first one at the theater to see it because I'm that asshole.
That's right up your alley.
But, I mean, there's a couple other Rock movies.
Did you like The Rundown?
Yeah, I like The Rundown. Walking Tall.
My only beef with The Rundown is the very beginning when it shows, like, you know, he's about to fight this guy from the offensive line from the team in L.A., whatever, and it shows Beck, recovery specialist, and lists his height and weight as 6'4", 220. Like, 220 bullshit. My ass. He's 275. And jacked. Literally I'm thinking, like, I'm 215, and I'm 5'9".
Yeah, I mean,
it just cracked me up. Like, yeah. Okay, come on now.
So here's the thing. Like, The Rock's got a series of movies that, like, are technically bad, right? Like, Rampage was not a good movie.
I did not see it.
I enjoyed it, right? It's where the animals grow.
Right.
Like,
the gorilla and the...
Right, the gorilla. I think there was a giant alligator, and there was a giant wolf that could fly. Like,
okay.
It wasn't good, but it was fun, and it was easy. And I think if you're not too caught up in trying to be the next movie critic, then, you know, like, some of these movies are enjoyable.
Let me translate. Movie critic means smug, obnoxious white guy.
Yes. Baywatch is another one.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Wasn't good.
I didn't see it, but you know what?
But I did see it, and again, it wasn't great, but I thought it was hilarious, and it was fun.
Hot dudes, hot chicks running on the beach in California. What do you want?
Right. Then there's Jumanji, right?
Okay.
Which wasn't bad, and they're doing Jumanji 2. Hercules was terrible, right? Hercules was actually on... Tooth Fairy is really bad, right? And I've actually seen them. I've seen them both, and
so, the difference
like, Hercules is literally The Rock... as his character from wrestling set in
ancient Greece.
Right. Like, it's just like, what the fuck is happening right now? Moana is actually one of me and my daughter's favorite movies, and it's probably, like, number two on the list.
Okay.
And he did a really good job. I mean, the singing, and, I mean, it was just great, and there's, you know, I love it, and just Moana's really good. And then, you know, he's got his Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart.
You know what? Another movie he was in, Be Cool with John Travolta.
Yes,
where he plays
a smaller role
guy,
in that. You're right.
And
which is, I love Be Cool.
It was
cool,
hilarious
because that's, you know, Be Cool and Get Shorty. Those are two really good movies.
I give him credit for that movie because he did jump out of his normal role for that.
Yeah.
A, it's not a big role, and B, he's playing a wannabe dancer. And that was fun.
Right. And then, I mean, he had some, you know, he had Pain and Gain and The Scorpion, and I'm just looking through the movies now.
Pain and Gain, was Mark Wahlberg in that?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember that.
And that movie was based off of a true story.
Yeah, a little twisted, too. Yeah.
This is dark. Then The Mummy and Scorpion and all those other stuff. But, I mean, he, like, God, he's been in a lot of movies.
He has been in a lot of movies.
Dude, that dude is.
And he's fucking awesome. And he was once the leading earner in Hollywood. All right, before we go, we got to talk Final Four for a minute. So, Mike Gonzaga.
We both fucked that up.
Yeah.
Well, you had Gonzaga, I had Duke. I mean, which are, you know,
right,
sensible
logical
picks,
choices,
but they both
nope
got bounced.
So one of us is buying a bottle of whiskey. Do we know who it's going to be yet?
No, because I got to pull your teams into our pool, because remember, you didn't do it right. So, we can look at that after the show.
Sounds good. Predictions for who's going to win it all?
I'm going to go Texas Tech.
Really? I'm Michigan State, but I'm a Tom Izzo guy.
I love me some Tom Izzo, and, you know, I was almost a Spartan myself, but I'm going to go with Texas Tech.
I mean, they look like the best team against all odds. They're playing well.
And I would like to go for Auburn because I like Bruce Pearlman, but I just think that they've got too many injuries.
When I saw him, I'm like, fucking, that's the guy from Tennessee.
And I've always liked him as a coach. He just skirts. I mean, listen, I don't think he's done anything worse than what, you know, Calipari or Patino has done.
True.
And he's gotten treated a lot worse. And
I would love to talk about John Calipari getting a life contract.
Next show, or another show, extra show, whatever. Let's
shut it down. We are at Whiskey Congress on social media. It's Steve at Whiskey Congress, Jim at Whiskey Congress. Thank you for listening. We had fun. Wait a minute. I am going to keep a promise.
Drop.
So Steve wants to have a This Week in Russia segment.
Oh.
And every week he sends me shit from his Russia. I don't know how this is going to work. We'll see how it goes. But this week.
I don't know. How do we do this?
I don't know. It's all visual.
It is all visual. So I'll set it up for you guys, and I promise we'll let you go after this. If you haven't already left.
You don't have to let them go. They're gone.
They're gone. So you got two Russian guys sitting. Well, I think there's three Russian people sitting at a table. But there's, like, the scene opens with one guy holding.
Okay. Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Because here's how this comes from my perspective. I'll get a text from Steve that says, "Hey, check this out. It's political. Hey, check this out. It's sports. Hey, do you want to get a drink or get a shot and a beer?" And then I get weird shit from Russia. And this particular one is a bunch of bare-chested, shaved-headed, hairless Russian dudes with a stun gun that they are passing around and using on themselves and knocking themselves to the fucking floor doing it.
The one guy, like, the one guy's eyes rolling in the back of his head.
Yeah, because he shot himself in the fucking chest with a stun gun.
Right, and he tried to put a napkin in between him. And then, like, everyone else is, like, laughing, and they're all speaking Russian, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. It just...
There's no win.
There's not. And I just...
But Steve loves this shit.
I
respect you for loving it. That was a slight.
To me, the shit that happens in Russia just fucking cracks me up. Right? I mean, because it's
you've
a weird
me some
place.
Good ones. You've sent me some good ones. There's another one where a guy cuts off the side of a car because it blocked his parking spot. Or corner of a car because of black spider. So we need to find a way to make This Week in Russia happen. You said I shut it down. I haven't. But I
did.
Well,
you didn't want to do it.
Okay, I did say I didn't want to do it. But here's the bad thing, Steve. So we got these guys in Russia zapping themselves in the chest with... What is going... All right, we're going to get shut down on YouTube now. Way to go.
We're not going to get shut down on YouTube for a fucking Russian guy
singing
rapping in Russian to 50 Cent. Sorry. But no, you're...
Fair. Anyway, I love the way we make this work because it is some funny shit, but it's all visual. And these guys zapped themselves in the chest was hilarious. But then it turns out there were two guys in Arkansas who put on bulletproof vests and traded shooting themselves in the chest with fucking guns to prove their bulletproof vests work. So we can do it This Week in Russia, but someone, the Vodka Congress in suburban St. Petersburg is going to be talking about how, in This Week in Arkansas, this dude shoots himself in chest. Stupid Americans.
This week in Florida, man stabbed someone with samurai sword over gum
while fighting alligator. Stupid Americans. All right, on that note, brother, let's shut this out. Are we good?
Yep.
Good show, brother. Enjoyed it. Later. I'm out. We're out.